Welcome to our podcast. Oh, you can look for exits, but there aren't any. Consider this your podcast of no return. So you might as well sit back and relax while you listen to tales of the odd, weird, unexplained, and just plain creepy. But beware, you never know what's lurking around each and every corner. Now here are your hosts, Todd and Sean. And they are middle-aged and creeped out.
Hello there, creepies. Welcome to episode 19. Nate is your sound engineer, and we are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged and creeped out. Sean, we're back at it. What's going on, man?
Oh, my gosh. Nothing too much, brother. What's going on with you guys?
Just ready to record another episode. Yay.
This is weird because now we got out of all the interviews that we had one of them we're not going to talk about right now, but we got two interviews and a couple minis, and now we're back at like regular episodes.
Regular scheduled program.
It just feels like an old shoe.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. No, I'm excited though. Yeah.
Yeah.
It does feel like we're really throwing some stuff out, doing a lot.
We're getting after it.
Yeah,
I think. The interviews are fun. They're awesome because it's nice to talk to somebody different and whatever they're talking about. And
wouldn't you like to know what they think? They're like, oh, gosh, interviews are not fun.
right.
Those three guys.
No, but yeah. So now we're just back to recording.
They've gone really well, honestly.
Real well, yeah. I thought.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I hope the listeners are, they'll enjoy them. And yeah, we've got one more coming up.
Yeah, I got one more coming up and then some more that are being scheduled.
Yep.
So that'll be cool.
Yeah.
Along with all the fun content.
You're doing all right, though?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. It's been still busy. I know I said that last time at work on one of the last podcasts,
So what did you say
this
today?
This is my way to recharge, honestly. That's true.
Mm-hmm. You had said we had messaged today, and you said something about the hospital was crazy because of there must have been a full moon something.
Full moon on Friday, and it started Monday. We were joking about having a freaky Friday on Monday, and we're like, maybe we got it out of the way, and it's what, a Wednesday now? And we're like, nope. So maybe we have it out of the way. We'll see the next 2 days, but. Yeah, full moons are a legit thing in the medical field. I didn't used to believe in them, but I believe in them now.
And Amy, being in education, that's a big deal. She's talked about that forever.
Yeah.
How the kids, when there's a full moon, they just are different.
They go
swears by it. And I'm like, really? She's like, no, there is.
They turn into werewolves.
Yeah. Zombies, werewolves, vampires. Yeah. No, but the same thing. She
little
said,
bloodsuckers.
Always a little different, a little crazy. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, okay, whatever. Now, there must be something to it. So
I mean this with a lot of love in my heart, but do you think this is what happens to some our wives, maybe? No? Yeah? No? Yeah? Lunar cycle? No, I didn't say that out loud. That was a pre-discussion.
I mean, it controls tides and all that kind of stuff. So
this is true.
I mean,
and we're made of water, right?
Yeah, there's
lots of water,
gravitational pulls, and
it affects us all.
I think that it affects people. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I do too.
Yeah. So Nate, what's going on with you, man?
Not a whole lot. Just hanging out at the house, getting a lot of stuff done, and
the dream. What do you call it? Honey-do list.
Yeah.
Oh man.
There's a honey-do and there's a honey-don't list. I'm not sure which one he's working on harder, but
right.
I work pretty hard on the honey don't.
Yeah.
And you got the wives and the kids gone for a few days, huh?
Yep.
Well, Harrison left yesterday. He went to a Reds Mets game with his coach and
that'd be fun.
A couple other players.
Has he ever been to a major league ball game?
Yeah, we've gone. We've taken him a couple times. And I've never seen a Grand Slam live, right? And we took him, and Ella was little. She's a little baby. And we took him and all the kids to a game. It was actually a Reds-Mets game then, too. And Jenna's like, Ella's got to go to the bathroom. You change her. And I was like, yeah, but, the momentum's building. Like, I don't want to leave. And so she's like, no, she needs to go. So I took her, changed the diaper, and she's like, you missed a Grand Slam. And I was like, don't tell me I missed my first Grand Slam. And Harrison's like, I saw my first Grand Slam. I'm like, I've never seen a Grand Slam. So
yeah. Still.
Way to go, kid. Yeah, still
always
have it.
Happens.
4-2. And no, but it was funny. So, yes, he has been to one. But yeah, so cool. Jenna took the kids today. And so I'm until, she said she might come back early. Wednesday or Thursday next week, she'll be gone.
And then
Rachel's leaving.
After work on Sunday, she'll head down to the lake and meet Jenna and the kids.
Yeah.
And we'll go and have fun on the boat.
Discuss how to handle us from here.
Right.
I told him, I said that you can just listen to our podcast if you feel, you know, you miss me.
Yeah.
You miss us. Just listen to our podcast.
What else would she do, right?
I don't even know what she would do.
I mean, what are we talking about here?
The kid said, we're going to miss you because you're the fun one. And Jenna, I told Jenna they said that. And she goes, it's true. She's like, I won't even get in the water with her.
Probably to deny it.
Yeah. She didn't. She was funny. So.
Oh, if it's hot down there, she'll get in the water.
I know. That's what I was thinking too. Yeah. And it's supposed to be too.
It does sound fun. Yeah. Well, good. That'd be nice for them. We'll get away, and then you guys can have your space.
Right? Yeah. I'm so. That's why I told her. I'm like, it's not gonna be any fun here. I'm. You know, Jude and I are hanging out together, of course, and I've got my mom and my sister helping me out with him, and so it's not. She's not gonna miss anything. I'm gonna be going to work, so.
Right.
I might get a haircut or something like that. Exciting, you know.
That is exciting.
Mo.
Right. Yeah.
Like whoop de doo.
Yeah.
But and we do have to mention today that we have two podcast dogs. Right. So. We've had, our original one was Jude when it was over at our house, and since the girls are gone, and Sam's always here, he's our old faithful.
Right.
So Jude is our young faithful today, so Jude came with me.
He came to visit.
Yeah. I'm
petting him right now. Hi, Jude.
I took pictures and sent them to Jenna of Jude so that she
would
know he was fine.
You called
your wife a dog. I did. I know. Well, I normally call William.
Mark that right there, hey, name.
Yeah, we edit. edit that quickly. No, she knows because she called William and Jude. We get their names mixed up all the time. I don't know why it's those two. So I don't know why I just did it with Jenna, but I'm in trouble.
Jenna, stay.
I'm in the, yeah, exactly.
Bad girl, roll over.
I'm in the doghouse.
Go on outside.
You don't pee on the carpet.
I should have really thought this conversation out before I started.
Yeah, you should have put some of them in your notes.
Anyway, we have two podcast dogs.
Jude's like, I'm not doggy.
Jude's just like, yeah, he's getting all the pets.
No, watch,
right?
No one I... Yep.
He wants all the attention. He's ridiculous.
He's like my pups.
I'm still here.
He's funny.
Pet me.
And Sam, all right over there? He's probably just laying down.
Yeah. Napping.
Yeah, he's doing his normal.
He's napping.
Laying down.
The life, man. So, sounds like we're all doing well.
Mm-hmm.
We're ready to go.
We're all alive.
Episode 19.
This is that crazy.
It is crazy.
So, 19.
It's awesome.
Took the place of 20 because I can't talk about who's on 20. 20 is huge. We had talked about 20 was going to be great, big, and it is. It's going to be. And then, but the one that we were thinking was originally 20 has got moved back to 19, and it's Jenna's idea episode.
Yeah, I was going to say, tell the listeners what we're going to do.
I can tell them now, right?
Yeah.
So this is haunted amusement parks, and she was so excited to come up with that idea, and I'm glad she did because I think it's a really good, it's a neat area, you know. So
mm-hmm.
She thought we should do something that's kind of, it's based in fun, but it's also got a little bit of spookiness behind it. So
we got to have the spookiness.
We got to
have the creepy.
This is the creepy, yeah.
Keep it creepy, fellas.
And I liked her idea right off the bat.
Yeah.
I said, yeah, I don't think I've heard much about amusement parks that have some hauntings. And
definitely had to do some research.
We did, and
it didn't just pop right out.
No.
You had to really research it. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No. It's, yep. Yeah. And so figuring out the lineup, I went ahead and made it my business to make myself number one. Todd likes to go in the middle, so he's number two. And then Nate likes to be the closer, so he'll clean up our mess.
Yep.
That's not fair.
That is not fair, but you do a good job of it every dang time, and you have a good one.
Yeah, you do a great job. take it as a compliment.
Keeping us in line, keeping us going down the middle of the line, right?
Yeah, I'm excited about this. So
this will be fun. Yeah.
So I'm starting, but of course when I start, you know that I have to hold on, wait a minute, just a second, I got something to say. Now, I seriously do want to say, because upcoming episodes... Todd always gets that look like, my God, can't we just get into it?
Where is he going?
No. Where is he going with this? I'm going to lead us in prayer. No.
I'm gonna put
after,
this in the notes.
After M.R. Gorga,
Sean, go straight to the topic.
I
stay on the topic. Start the topic.
Listen,
don't move from it. No,
since M.R. Gorga, I have decided, M.R. and I decided that we need to start this with a serious prayer. And that's probably actually not too far off the topic. But no, I did want to thank a couple of our listeners before we get too deep into the content. Eileen and Tommy, because they're going to be doing research. They've agreed to do research. Tommy's already done some. Eileen's going to do some as well. And we really want to say thank you to them. It's a really big topic. It's going to take two parts. So I did want to thank them for that.
Thank you guys.
We appreciate all our listeners.
Thank you.
We appreciate them for that. So anyway, I don't have any other way to stall. So, the other way that I've looked at it. So
why are we stalling?
I don't know why I'm stalling. It's just for fun. So no, with the haunted amusement parks, the original one that I wanted to do or was thinking about doing was Six Flags in New Orleans. It's the it's the one that got destroyed in Katrina in 2005. Mm-hmm. So I thought, this is going to have great, just like you were talking about, it's hard to find a place that is easy to talk to and find some spooky stuff. So it is, if you look at the videos and you look at pictures, it's super spooky. And it's been highly vandalized. It's half of it's underwater. They say coming off the interstate, it's just a huge eyesore now. And it still has the sign that says closed for storm. They expect it to be closed for a couple of days, and then they're still closed all these years later. They don't. It's too much money to figure out what to do with it. It's got crocodiles hanging out there. So people
snakes
that go
and crocodiles, yeah.
People that go there run the risk of getting hurt or killed. And if not, then they do run security patrols that keep a pretty close eye on them, on all the land there too. So I kept thinking, like, oh, I'm going to find some good stories. And they're like, there's not really any ghost stories per se.
That's what I found.
Did you look into it?
Well, no, not that one in particular, but
a lot of them, yeah.
A lot of them, it's like, you know, pictures pop up and there's like, oh yeah, that looks spooky. I mean, and they are. They're run down, abandoned amusement parks, but that's all they are.
Right.
So, you know, nature's taking its course and, you know, growing back foliage and covering stuff, and things are getting moss all over
which
out,
makes
rusting.
It look, I mean, that,
so
does,
it looks
that makes
like,
it
oh,
look
there has
super
to be
creepy.
Something there, but there
is nothing.
It's just
and that was
an
my
abandoned.
Issue. That same thing. Yeah. I did look into the New Orleans Six Flags.
Did you?
I did, and excellent pictures, and I read a lot about
and
that.
And it's super creepy, and I bet to go around there would be, and you'd but, be fearful of,
yeah, I mean,
God knows what's going
to
be around every corner.
Yeah, exploring it
I
would be
I think
creepy.
There was one, maybe two, I don't even know, yeah, maybe one little creepiness story, you know, like maybe paranormal related, but I don't know. But
they
it,
said
yeah,
that
it's
the people that
sad. Went, it's very sad looking.
This is our bonus one, by the way.
And it wasn't very old. I mean, it wasn't around very old before it got destroyed.
It was what called Jazzland before, and then it hadn't been Jazzland, and then it got bought out by Six Flags and was supposed to be this. And it was. I mean, I remember the commercials for it when we were younger. And it really, you know, you got excited to go there. But it's been highly vandalized. They say that people that go there that do explore, they break in to look at it, you feel like something's watching. So they said that's as close as haunting as it gets. And like I said, it's a huge eyesore for there. It was it was in the Jurassic World film, though. So it was really cool. What did he do?
Jude,
been out here. You're not ever going to be invited back again.
So guys, if you hear something gargle a weird sound, it's nothing paranormal.
It might have been.
It was me drinking some, what do I have, Gatorade.
Oh, it was you? I thought it was Jude.
Yeah, you're talking and just in the background you hear.
Sorry about that.
I think we should have blamed Jude for that, though. Like,
I should have let it go. Why not? And some people, did you hear that in the middle of, or, you know, when Sean was talking?
We're going to look.
Someone's haunting your podcast.
Someday we're going to look back and go, what was the most irreverent episode? I was 19. 19. We just went. I don't even remember what we talked about.
Took
19.
45 minutes just to get to the
freaking point. Okay. Yeah. So.
No, but.
Now that we're getting to the freaking point, it is.
The
first place we're actually going to look at, because like I said, unfortunately, Six Flags, even though it looks creepy and it has an interesting background with Katrina and everything, it didn't really fly with being haunted. So the second one I looked at, and because I thought, I am just going to look back into more of a historical place, and this is Lake Shawnee Amusement Park. Now, I'm going to have to point that out. Jenna, of course, she grabbed right onto it. It's like, did you pick it because it's Shawnee? And I was like,
that's what I thought.
This is any Indians, so this has nothing to do with me. The Shawnee Indians, just for a historical backdrop, were in Indiana, Ohio Valley, all that good stuff, over into West Virginia, and then they ended up, they're still tribes that like are in Oklahoma. They got, you know, Trail of Tears type stuff that ended up being pushed west, but they used to be in that area, and they were in this area too. So, and I'll talk about the history a little bit more in depth, but it is in a very discreet place. They said that if you go past this place, it's real easy to miss the road. It's called, it's a Route 19, or Route 19 between Princeton and Madoaka. So that's probably Shawnee for
Madoaka.
Madoaka, yeah. And it's in Mercer County, West Virginia.
Okay.
So. That I should just stop right there because that makes it super duper creepy just being in West Virginia. Just kidding, West Virginia.
Better be careful.
I know somebody. I work with somebody from West Virginia, so that's why I can make that joke. So it is on that land in Mitchell Clay, Mercer County's first white settler. This is where I do have to relay some history. I know that we don't want to go too far in the history, but the history is what
Sean
makes it interesting.
Talking history? No way.
It has to happen. This, you guys can't stop me now.
Stats, history.
So the first white settler and his family made their home in 1775 in Mercer County here in this area. 8 years later, the Shawnee, no relation to me, Indians killed two of his children, Tabitha and Bartley, and captured a third, Ezekiel. Clay and a posse tracked the group to Ohio, but his son was burned at the stake. Ooh. So that's... And there's some, as I'm going through this, you find out later, they didn't know this for the longest time, but this is on, all of this amusement park was ended up getting built on an Indian burial ground. So they said that a lot of the Indians, when they were wiped out, they just buried them quickly, but they found tons of bodies there. So it's on a burial ground. So you know, we've talked about this before, Indian burial grounds is something we need to cover probably more in depth, but it is, that makes it super haunted. I mean, it just does. So in the 1920s is when this has actually got turned into an amusement park. So a businessman named Conley T. Snidow, I don't know if I'm saying that right, bought the property to build an amusement park, Lake Shawnee. White, let's see. So this, the guy, there's a guy that looks into the history of it. His name is, his last name is White. They said since they purchased that property, the Whites purchased the property in 1986. And they say that they didn't know much about the earlier years of the park, but they show that Lake Shawnee in the 40s, 50s, and 60s were, you know, was pretty big with you know, this area of having fun and everything. They had a cement swimming pond with a bathhouse in the front, and they rented, you could rent wool bathing suits for 15 cents back in the day.
Sounds comfortable.
Doesn't it? Well, cement pools don't sound that fun anyway.
Yeah.
They had two water slides and several diving boards. So Lake Shawnee also featured, and we've had this in the past, speakeasies with a dance hall. And of course, the amusement park had rides. Now, the pictures, I thought about putting a whole bunch of them, but they have a really creepy Ferris wheel and they have swings. Those were some of the biggest attractions. And that's what they said. The Ferris wheel and the swings drew the largest crowds. So, despite its popularity, the park was marred by tragedy, including the drowning deaths of two boys, one in the lake, which wasn't used for swimming, and another in the pond. It was in 1966, the death of a young girl in the swings, however, that led to the actual closure. The accident, White said, occurred when a truck delivering drinks to the park backed into the swings while attempting to turn around.
Ooh.
So, it just, yeah, not good. So the park closed because of several deaths that happened and just accidents. So the site of such violence, joy, and tragedy went quiet for quite a while. So in the 80s, the White's family, that they started researching and looking back into, kind of the history of this, the grounds. The now deceased father of the Whites, Gaylord, had worked in the park in his youth. He decided, to try to reopen the park. So this is really weird. So the old rides that had been sold off, they had been moved, and the Whites decided that with the swings and the Ferris wheel, they were a huge staple back in the day. Mm-hmm. So they wanted to revive it and make it look like it was. So they tried to acquire new swings, and they said what happened is they found a swing in New Jersey, loaded it up, brought it back. When they got there, they ran the serial numbers and found it was the exact swing that had been used there. Now, and they didn't do it on purpose. They say they didn't do it on purpose.
Interesting.
So talk about, that's spooky to me. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's kind of cool, actually. It's kind
of
like,
I mean,
hey,
what's the chances of
you're
that?
You're meant to be here, so come here. Yeah, you know?
Right.
So, but what, I thought that was really catching, honestly. So then they had their, what, like I said, their staple or core rides in place. They wanted to add kiddie rides. So they had paddle boats, bumper boats, a stage for entertainment. So on the 4th of July weekend in 1987, the Whites had bands playing 24 hours a day with the admissions of $1. He said they saw close to 10,000 people. So after 3 years, they had, the insurance was running them out of business. It was too much to run the park and to keep the property active. So they had to stop doing it. So they had, this is where they started finding the bodies of all the Indians and all that kind of stuff. So they started bulldozing and trying to rework the land. And it said they were finding a bunch of artifacts. We found arrowheads, potteries, and pots. So we stopped. This was pretty interesting, and so on and so forth. So they said They spent several years looking and uncovering these artifacts and just countless numbers of graves. So the whole place, just from that, started getting more of a spooky atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
They first found kids' graves, and they said they found somewhere like 3,000 bodies buried there. The only thing they figured that could happen was some kind of virus that happened, or flu, or that they got wiped out by settlers or whatever. So they said and then the rest of them, a lot of the Shawnee that were moved out, were forced out and would have been having to move west.
What year did they think that they had all the deaths?
This would have been, this says the 1700s. So
because it says in Savannah, that cemetery, mm-hmm. That I think they said, what was it, 9,000? I think graves there. Yellow fever is what did that. So right. I was wondering if that was kind of maybe the same thing, yellow fever type.
Mm-hmm. And they don't know.
And that was 1700s.
The worst part is, they don't have records on that. So they said it was in the 1700s. Yeah, that's about as close as they can get.
Okay.
Excuse me. So they said they started in the mid to late 1990s. So this is why you got to clean up for us, Nate. You got to watch out.
Mm-hmm.
So the people that owned it, the white family, they began offering campfire stories and tours in Lake Shawnee, and then they especially started focusing on Halloween week. So they still have, who knows what COVID did to it, but they still have especially down around the Halloween time, for people to come and really get spooked out. They still have this open celebration or these tours. I think so, yeah.
Hmm.
There's a lot of paranormal groups that go there, ghost hunters that like to go there. This would be a good place for Aaron to go, right?
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of them they like to get permission. You're supposed to get permission. You're obviously not supposed to trespass here, but it's mm-hmm. really kind of, it's in such a remote location and one that's, can be hard to get to. So they said that a lot more people and over the years have started, and with the internet growing and all that kind of stuff, more and more people know about it now. This is a place, and I'll be honest with you, I'd heard of it, but I didn't know much about it. I certainly didn't know the history of it until I started looking into it. But they said, this is what's interesting, they said now that it's become so big, the Travel Channel has gone there, the Discovery Channel, ABC Family, National Geographic have all filmed on that location to kind of discover the history of it and the hauntings and all that kind of stuff. And there was even the White family has even done an interview on the Howard Stern show.
Wow.
Okay.
So everybody wants to know about the hauntings. So they say like the little girl that died on the swings, or the people in the different accidents that died, they see those ghosts, they see orbs, people that take videos or take pictures, kind of see different people.
Did they say mm-hmm. anything about skinwalkers?
That's
big in the Native American.
Exactly. Well,
lore,
yeah.
Culture. I did not see that, but I wouldn't be surprised if that was.
I was just curious if that was one of them that they said that they experienced.
This is when we're talking about all the places that have filmed there. They said when the Discovery Channel filmed, White says that one of the investigators got stuck in the old ticket booth and went into such a panic she had to go to the hospital in Princeton, because it's close to Princeton, like I said. And she couldn't get out, and she was yelling help. She just got so freaked out.
Wow.
There had to be something more though that it's not fun to get stuck anywhere, but a ticket booth, but there had to, maybe she saw something or something
just like
grabbed her, touched her. I don't know.
Well, like the Central State, remember that lady that got stuck in the room and she couldn't figure it out, and mm-hmm, the ghost had helped her out. So who knows, but it's just,
he was a nice ghost. Yeah.
I just think, I've never been to this place. I'd love to go and kind of take a look at it, but they said that you're going to get dirty. It's a place where you better get your mud boots out. You may not want to do that, Todd, but it's a place that you're going to get messy. So they said that, the father has had encounters with the little girl who lost her life, on the swings, all those years ago, over 50 years ago now. They said they kept finding the dad was on a tractor mowing, because there's a lot of land to keep up there. He felt like a weight on his shoulders. He didn't know what it was. So he turned around, and the little girl from the swings was on there. So she's one that comes up quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
It said that she has her little ruffled dress on, which this, aww, I know we talked about this with the little kids.
I hate that.
Then she was there, and then she just disappears. So it's really sad.
Hmm.
So it's just, it's a really strange place. I mean, and like I said, a lot of the different investigators are going there, and and hanging out. I think it would be really cool to see in during the Halloween season. I think that would be like, and like I said, look at the pictures because it definitely gives you an extra creep factor. The place that, like, at least what it was called with the campfires and the stories and everything, is the Dark Carnival Lake Nightmare is what it's named.
Oh,
so wow. Didn't that sound fun?
I like it.
Yeah.
So you go around and you get to go around the lake. They say, you know, you got to wear your boots and all that kind of stuff and your wading boots type stuff. You get to go
totally
around the
that.
Lake.
Yeah,
oh,
great.
Totally. Mm-hmm. Totally do that, right? Go around the lake, swings, and the Ferris wheel, which, like I said, they're moss covered and, you know, the nature is starting to take back over. So yeah.
It's pretty much what happens with these parks and just get overgrown, the weeds and,
yeah. A lot
grass.
Of upkeep.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the pictures he posted on Facebook, they were eerie. The swings and the Ferris wheel. Those are real creepy looking.
So it said that, yeah, it's just, I don't know, it's a bittersweet place because, like I said, there's a dark history because there's murder there. There was people that died from, like I said, either an epidemic or some kind of a flu or virus.
Yeah, massive death.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, or being wiped out, you know, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But, you know, and then it was a place for fun. You know, there was a speakeasy and all that kind of stuff. So people have had a lot, you know, dance hall and all that kind of stuff. And then, but people started, you know, with accidents and dying and all that kind of stuff. It's, and you can imagine, like, that's, when we were at Cedar Point, you're thinking about, I when I get on a especially a really scary roller coaster, you think, oh, this is how I'm going to die kind of thing. And, but there are legitimate accidents. They're very rare, but people do die on roller coasters and different and
man,
things.
It happens.
You know, and tragedy can strike. So it's just really sad. But like I said, it's bittersweet that it's just got, it's got kind of a mixed bag of history. And so
that's why it makes it interesting at those places.
Mm-hmm.
So the mine's first and
I liked it.
Like I said, old, creepy. It's well known now.
In West Virginia.
It is West Virginia.
Nice.
So,
nice. So it's not that far. I mean, it's just, you know.
I fumble stumbled around that one, so you get to clean me up, and then Nate gets to clean him.
Oh, great.
Clean yourself.
You know, that kind of sounds a little weird.
It does. It's
I don't
like,
know if I like
this
that.
This is how this podcast is going to go from now on.
Yeah, no, that was good. I liked it. I like Shawnee.
Let's see if I can make a slurpy sound.
I had never heard of it. So nope. That was, I'd never heard of Lake Shawnee.
Yeah, I've never heard of it.
Did you think I was just making it up? Because
well, yeah.
It's not
Lake,
fair.
Lake Shawnee. Okay, I'm doing Lake Toddy.
Exactly right.
He's going to do Lake Nady.
Nady.
You can ride the ride, Hottie Toddy.
Hottie Toddy.
And none of them are even close to haunted.
I know when my wife hears this, she's going to go, oh, my god.
She's going to say, dude.
All our wives are like, oh.
Did you guys put any thought into this?
Yeah, I know. Usually we really do. Yeah. I mean, I have notes. I see his notes. I see. You know.
I got them all here.
Man. Yeah, a lot of notes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I liked it, so good job.
It's Jude. I'm going to blame Jude the whole time.
He's bringing a different vibe.
He's sleeping now. He's good.
He's bringing the Jude dude.
Don't blame me, Daddy. All right. Well, I was doing some research, and same thing. I would find an amusement park, like we were talking, and you would see these eerie, creepy, spooky-looking pictures. I'm like, bingo.
Yeah.
Found it.
Okay, maybe interesting, but not scary, creepy. Yeah, there wasn't the content that I wanted.
Yeah.
So if we were just basing it on pictures, I could find those all day long, the eerie ones. But so I kept looking, and I found this one, and this is in Busch Gardens in Tampa, Florida, which I've only been to one time, and that was our, let's see, 87. So it was the summer after my sophomore year.
That's all. I've been once.
And
it's poured, been several
it
years
poured,
ago.
Poured,
are
poured.
You serious?
Yes, it was one of those where we went. So my family lived in Fort Myers, and it was like the last two or three days of our vacation because my dad would stay home. He'd just do his stuff, and Mom and I would fly down to Fort Myers see my aunt and my two cousins and my grandma. And so then they were like, "Hey, let's go to this place is closed, but it's Boardwalk and Baseball, and where a lot of like the Twins." I'm trying to think, maybe the White Sox, Red Sox, because Red Sox are down in Fort Myers. But it was an amusement park, but then they had AAA baseball diamonds for like spring training.
Yeah.
So we went to that, beautiful weather. It was great and you know, had all the big rides and everything. And then we were going to go from Orlando to Tampa, spend the night, which we did. And then the next day get up and do Busch Gardens and then come home the next day, you know. Orlando was awesome. And, yeah, I mean from the first minute we were – at Busch Gardens just poured and poured.
Oh, that sucks.
And it gave us maybe an hour or so, a little break here and there. But, but you know, we made
not
it work
enough
and,
to be able to enjoy anything, probably, right?
Yeah, I mean, we rode some rides, but it's just you're just getting drenched.
Yeah, and I just soaked all day.
Normally in Florida, you just get those 10, 20-minute showers.
I know.
And then it's not.
And then they're gone, yeah.
So,
no,
yeah,
this one lasted and lasted out. And lasted. And so, yeah. So I have not been since. I'd like to go back. But actually, my boss at Tory, he and his family went to Busch Gardens 2 weeks ago. Or, well, it was the week before I went on vacation, so whatever that was.
We went when it's been several years now. But when we went, it's funny because we talked about going to Disney. And Jenna's like, no, Disney's, it's just too much. And so we knew some people that went to Disney, and we went to Busch Gardens. And Busch Gardens was, it was busy, but it was, you could get around.
Yeah.
And people that went to Disney were like shoulder to shoulder, and people were like, it's really busy, it's really hot. And we're like, Busch Gardens is fine down here in Tampa.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So I'm excited to hear this.
So it's in Busch Gardens, but this place, it's a specific building. Mm-hmm. And it is called, excuse me, it was called the Crown Colony Restaurant. Now they're calling it the Serengeti Overlook Restaurant.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm going to read this little page here because it kind of sets the. It was really, really well written. So I'm going to probably butcher it, but it's kind of neat to kind of set the tone.
You can't butcher it like I butchered my story. So just try.
He's already butchered.
I'm pretty confident. He's super I'm pretty confident. Because I mean, really, this is greatly written. But I'm gonna. Okay, here we go. The sun disappears over the Serengeti, leaving orange-purple hues across the sky. Hundreds of animals throughout the park slowly retire for the evening. The thrilling screams from Shakra, Montu, and Kumba roller coasters fade into the twilight. Sorry, Busch Gardens, if I botched that. A child is fast asleep in a car on the way home next to the gigantic white tiger, stuffed animal won from a Midway game in Timbuktu.
Timbuktu.
Gosh. Anyway, yeah.
you want to know if
I can't butcher it?
You're doing great.
No, but the security guards lock up for the night. Busch Gardens Africa in Tampa is now closed. All the park's inhabitants settle in for a quiet evening. All is quiet except for maybe one place, the large, older Victorian Crown Colony House that sits overlooking the Serengeti. For the last few decades, there have been rumors that not all may be at peace inside this building after the sun sets. Sounds of children's laughter, strange fogs that sweep through the main dining room, mysterious figures that have appeared and then disappeared are just a few of the tales that have echoed around the park. Could the Crown Colony House truly be haunted? Dun, dun, dun. I thought that was pretty cool.
I think that's awesome.
Just to kind of set the tone. So this place is Crown Colony Restaurant, again called the Serengeti Overlook Restaurant, was built in 1964.
Ooh.
And it was a Valentine's gift for the third wife of August Busch, the founder of Anheuser-Busch Company.
Oh.
Her name was Trudy. Now, it closed in 1982 for remodeling. Sometime after the reopening in 1990, that's when employees began to experience strange things while they were shutting down the building. So in that time period for the remodel, and if you've listened to some stories, remodeling homes or changing rooms, you know, like, redecorating stirs things up.
Yeah.
You know,
not just the dust, right?
Right, exactly. So that's kind of cool that it was a Valentine's gift for his lovely bride. So let's see here. So there's been a lot of, it's a popular place for professional investigating teams to go there. I'll just read this. Led by married couple Ray and Lisa Abney from Haunted South is an investigative group. They were interested in investigating, and they claimed that they heard, or when they claimed about hearing about the restaurant, it was the first time the Busch Gardens had allowed a ghost hunting team on its grounds ever. And Jill Revel said she's like the senior manager of communication. So yeah, so they were the first ones to ever try something like that.
That's pretty cool, actually.
Yeah. Then it said. It's kind of cool because they have a lot of employees saying it. Then I've got some quotes and stories from the investigative teams. It says there always seems to be a presence, mainly when you're up on the fourth floor. Almost any time you're up there by yourself and go up to press the elevator button, you get this unexplained cold chill and the hair on the back of your neck stands up.
I got a stupid question then.
What's that?
It's an overlook, right? So because there were animals and all that kind of stuff that roamed. Is it more than four stories or the fourth is the top? I was just curious.
I do not know that. I can't answer that.
Looking at, I mean, because I saw the pictures and I was trying to think. That's
a beautiful building.
It is beautiful. It right. is.
And four stories. Yeah. That's tall.
Yeah. And it does overlook the Serengeti. It's kind of cool.
Because being there, I know they have it's like a zoo, but it's kind of wild that they used to just let them roam. You know what I mean? I'm sure they had them contained where you couldn't get too close to them, but that's pretty.
Or see a
I saw
lion,
pictures of that. Yeah.
Lion take down a zebra.
Isn't that crazy? As you're eating.
Circle of life.
As you're eating your steak.
Hey, kids, want some ice cream?
Right, yeah. Who's the top predator?
Oh, that is. That's life, man.
Oh,
that
is. Yeah, I know.
Life in the Serengeti.
Yeah.
So it said, during the 8 years when the restaurant was closed to recent times, different Busch Gardens employees have had unexplainable experiences in the Crown Colony House. Let's see, Kent Roy, he was a former Crown Colony House employee. He worked in the park for 14 years, four of them being at the colony. His haunting experiences include on a few different occasions, feeling a chill in the back of his neck, about the elevator, closing up late a couple of nights, hearing sounds of children playing and bouncing a ball in different areas of the building. Nobody was there. Another experience was when staying late one night alone, Kent watched the TVs in which they'd use for, Kent watched the TVs in what used to be the Brewmaster's Club. He thought he felt someone come up behind him. He turned to his left, and a woman wearing a white nightgown, not a dress, but... blue dots appeared. By the time he blinked, she was gone. Other reports of ghosts over the years include an elderly bartender. A few people reported looking at the windows in the Velt room, V-E-L-D-T, Velt room, seeing in the reflection a piano player at the piano. But once they turned around, he was gone.
Nobody there. Ooh.
Nobody's there.
You don't have to tip him, right?
Right. The most common story of a haunting involves an 8-year-old girl named Wendy, named by the former Busch Gardens employee, Wendy has said to materialize as a fog in the main dining room and even stopping the elevators between floors.
I was going to ask you because ghosts need to have names, right?
So they might as well name. Yeah.
They might as well
get Little Wendy.
Yep.
In doing a lot of research, a lot of claims of cold spots, flashing lights. This is cool. People that go there and dine, stay there. So guests and employees, see falling trays all the time in the dining room. Trays will just tip over or fly off the table,
Wow.
Yeah, and nobody's pushing them. Let's see here. The sound of children. They said a lot of people hear the sound of children playing is frequently reported. Let's see. Where's the other one?
You get a discount if you get these haunting experiences? Dude, I didn't sign up for this.
Yeah, right.
I didn't sign up for this. Yeah. Or do you have to pay extra?
I think, yeah. Like, I don't know.
I have to charge you for the haunting fee.
I don't know.
Depends on your demeanor, I guess.
Exactly, yeah. How upset are you?
I got a few more, and then I'm going to turn it over to Nate.
Oh, cool.
See here. One of He's Crown Colony's.
Yeah.
Wait. Okay.
Sean.
Yeah.
Sean.
His story and haunting amusement park. It's a big,
big
one.
Story.
Big story. Big story.
I should really check my thoughts at the gate.
Big Bear. Big Bear chase me.
Big Bear. Yep.
Big Bear.
He's the cornerstone. Keystone? That's what I meant.
That's right. Anyway. Okay. Moving on. One of Crown Colony's more chilling claims is of... good grief. See, I'm all...
I love this one because...
Oh, my gosh.
We're free as a bird now. We could just do whatever we want.
Free as a bird. anyway. So... flickering lights is often seen in the colony, and a phantom cigar smell and orbs showing up in the digital pictures were witnessed upstairs. Ooh. So, yeah,
this happens more than I'd ever. That we talk about that a lot. That's what's fun. The reoccurring themes. I like the hauntings.
Oh yeah,
cigar smell, tobacco smell, perfume smell.
The ghosts. They love the smell. Yeah. The strong smells, right?
Yeah.
The tobacco.
Tobacco, wacky tobacco,
right?
That maybe
that's
wacky
a different
tobacco
smell.
Fits right in.
We talked about the old bartender and the woman that was in the white nightgown.
I want the bartender to have a name. Definitely, he needs
they should name him
Gus
price.
Or
I know, yeah, Gus or
Wyatt.
Wyatt. Ooh, Wyatt.
Ooh, Wyatt.
Hey, Wyatt. In an effort to make whatever spirits were residing in the restaurant feel less threatened, the group decided to split up. So this investigative team, taking non-researchers upstairs and leaving the researchers in the lower dining room, Surprisingly, the plan worked, and both groups began having experiences of their own. So they That's both weird. Had.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
The researchers downstairs said they saw a dark shadow moving across the room where they were at. That's pretty creepy. Yeah, so let's see, maybe some shadow people like things. Yeah.
We should talk about that.
I think we should go. Put this on the
list. We should just go, yeah.
Go to Busch Gardens, hang out, have fun, and then go get creeped out.
Busch Gardens is a fun amusement park. It was awesome. I loved it. I've not been back since.
So I'm talking 1987. It's a long time ago.
Yeah, it is a long time ago. But it's...
Well, that would have been closed during that time, wouldn't it? I would say it closed for remodeling in 1983 to 1990.
Well, I was there sophomore year.
It's even spookier.
It was 87.
It's even spookier than
that. Yeah.
And that was open or it was closed?
Well, closed.
Jenna, closed.
Jen and I talked about it because she'd been, I don't know how many times she's been to Busch Gardens.
So 3 years after, then he reopened.
Yeah.
More than me. And she said, I don't even know what this place is, but it had a different name too. Mm-hmm. So she was like, I don't even know where, she's like, I thought I knew Busch Gardens. So she didn't know Busch Gardens, did she?
No, that's right. I remember when we went to Busch Gardens, going up, walking up, I mean, there must have been 1,000 steps to the plant, the Anheuser-Busch plant. Pretty cool. That was fun. Walking in the, I mean, it was pouring then. Walking up all these, I mean, it was huge. It seemed like I was walking up a mountain. But so that would have been closed, you know. So, I mean, I knew nothing about it. But, the park's open, but the colony house. But, so, I mean, that was several spooky entities and little things.
I think that was a good, when I.
Little Wendy, the 8-year-old girl, doesn't sound, she sounds kind of mischievous.
Yeah.
Messing with the elevators and. Mm-hmm. Showing up and then disappearing, but
I love getting stuck in between floors on an elevator.
Oh man, isn't that great?
It's awful. Yeah.
Hey, Wendy,
like the worst.
Come on. I want to get to the first floor.
Yeah, exactly. Come on, dude.
Okay. Yeah.
Give me a minute.
That's kind of all I had on the Colony House.
I liked it.
Crown Colony.
I was looking forward to both of yours. I'm still looking forward to yours, but this is so much fun because I don't look into yours then. Like when you tell me what you're going to do, I'm like, I'm not touching that.
Well, and that's why I asked last week. I was like, hey, why don't we just tell each other what we're doing and then that way we're not stepping on toes.
Yep. Right. Exactly.
Yeah. No, but yeah. So there you go.
That's a good one. I like
Thanks.
That.
Thanks.
Yeah.
And I didn't know. That's what, like I said, and Jenna was surprised.
I've never heard
of it. She's surprised by Kings Island too.
Yeah. This one's going to surprise you too.
This is why you're
ready.
You're the closer.
I know all three of us have been there numerous times, and
oh my gosh,
yeah.
Every summer when I was a kid, that's where we
were. You're going to be blown away. You're going to be blown away by Kings Island
because we're going to want to go. Let's go as soon as we can.
Yeah,
let's go. Let's get over there.
Yeah,
I'm going to start this like Sean did, and at first I found this park over in Ukraine.
Ah, see
the Pripyat amusement park,
not Turda.
No, it wasn't Turda. And it caught my interest just because I'm really interested in the whole Chernobyl disaster and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Talk about sad.
And this was a town right next to it. Hmm. And it opened May 1st, 1986. And that was like 5 days before the disaster happened.
Yeah.
5 miles away.
I think I've seen pictures of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's... Like the main one, like you see, if it's an amusement park about Chernobyl, this is it.
That's it, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, obviously nuclear fallout, all that kind of stuff, killed 4,000 people. And then they believe that it's haunted by the children that were killed by the radioactive waste. And you could still hear them laughing if you go there for like a tour or whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I was like, man, that's sort of cool. But then it's like, there has to be something better. So then I just went to the old tried and true, close to home, Kings Island.
Yeah. It's 2 hours away from Indy, basically. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, so definitely an hour
and
a half,
maybe. And I had no clue of any of this. And I started reading. And I was like, yep, this is it. This is what I'm going to do.
That's awesome.
So I just want to give a little taste of that one that the first one I found.
Yeah.
That one is dreadful sounding. Yeah. I don't think I could do that one. I don't, you know, all the places I go, oh, yeah, I'm always up for that. Nah.
Mm. Yeah.
I'm not doing the Chernobyl.
No, I know.
Very sad. So
this one is
we're ready.
Kings Island, located Mason, Ohio, about 24 miles northeast of Cincinnati. It opened April 29th, 1972.
You're after I was born. So it's old. It's old.
Sounds so young.
Yeah.
So it was named for the King's Powder Company.
Oh. I did not know that.
Yeah,
okay. Did you know that?
No.
I didn't know that either. Okay.
Because everybody thinks like Paramount has something
to do
with it.
Yeah, exactly, right.
They
own
it.
Yeah.
I knew it wasn't had nothing to do with Paramount, but I couldn't remember. Okay.
Smart. Yeah, so it's Smarty Powder Company, which powder was gunpowder. Yeah.
Smarty Pants.
Not talcum powder or anything like that. They manufactured gunpowder, gotcha, which I'll get into all that. Mm-hmm. The history's pretty fascinating. Sort of helps with the hauntings, but it's more just really neat history.
Yeah.
And it happened on the grounds, mm-hmm, or, you know, really close to the, mm-hmm, grounds. They created the town of Kings Mill, which is just north of Kings Island, mm-hmm, Park, mm-hmm, and they built that for the employees, so they had their own little town to live at, and then
that was pretty common for a lot of, yeah.
So it was the 700 acres of property that was once owned by the company, King's Powder. What most visitors don't know is tucked away in the park is an ancient cemetery.
Oh.
It's right as you drive into the parking lot. There's like a little patch of trees all around it. There's a cemetery there.
I did not know that.
I did not know
that. Johnny didn't know that either.
So that dates back to 1840s. So
it's been
there a long,
long time.
It's been a long time.
Long time.
Yeah, I know.
Known historically as Dog Street Cemetery.
Dog Street.
And so, like I said, it sits off the parking lot entrance. Nearly 70 grave sites, but only about 50 of them have headstones remaining. Mm. Contrary to what is thought, not all of the ghosts in the park are connected to the graveyard. Some of them are.
Hmm.
There has... I can't read my writing.
I do that all the time.
There has always been rumors of accidental death in the park, and some are verifiable.
Is this going to be accidental deaths on roller coasters? Because that's all I can see is like people getting killed on roller coasters.
I have like the three major ones.
Not that I want that to happen, but I know that has happened. Yeah,
but yeah, it's they may account for some of the ghost activity in there, and then the big historical chunk. I'm going to try to paraphrase as much as I can. Basically, it's just the history of the King's Powder Company.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And in July of 1890, the factory blew up.
Oh.
Had a big explosion.
Ooh. Yeah, I figured that was coming.
And it killed 11 men, women, and children.
Oh.
Let's see. So...
I got no jokes for that.
Yeah.
No, that's not a joke.
And this is all the stuff I didn't know.
Oh, no.
So, this is pretty... Well, and some of the gunpowder plant is still there. And
is it?
Yeah, it's still being used. It's been in movies. It's been in commercials. It's been in musicians' videos, mm-hmm, you know, doing a
did,
video
did they
the
list
song.
Any of the movies and stuff like that? Like,
no, I didn't find a list of that. I'm sure you can find
curious,
it.
I was curious,
yeah.
Interesting.
But yeah, it says, just down the hill from King's Mill, the old Peters cartridge factory looms ominously. It is empty and dilapidated now, broken windows and no trespassing signs. The only evidence that someone or anyone still cares about the majestic old building today is because they have no trespassing signs on it. Mm. Deep inside the maze of buildings, however, there is life remaining in the form of about 20 small businesses, tenants, including photographers, salvage operators, motorcycle repair shop, whistle manufacturer, and theater group. Today, the place is quiet and peaceful, a stark contrast to a century ago when the bustling factory was one of the most prolific and innovative makers of ammunition in the world. Mm-hmm. It employed hundreds of people along the scenic river. The complex, built in 1880s, was a colorful history based on revenge. Joseph Warren King and his nephew, I'm not even going to attempt that his name, owned a large portion of the Miami Powder Company. The Kings were forced out of their company after an out-of-state powder maker gained control of the business from them in 1872 in what we call today as hostile takeover. The crafty, revengeful Kings hatched a plan to buy 832,000 pounds of surplus Civil War gunpowder from an armory in St. Louis. King intended to drive his nemesis out of business with cheap gunpowder at a time when a flooded post-war market made the explosive stuff inexpensive already. In 1878, the Kings created the Great Western Powder Company and chose a spot for their factory in a deep valley on the Little Miami River, where Kings Island stands today. The choice of this site was no accident. In the early days of explosive manufacturing, willow trees played a predominant part in the manufacturing of gunpowder. It required saltpeter, soda ash, and charcoal. The banks of most every stream in the area abounded with willow trees. These trees could be used to produce the high grade of charcoal necessary for manufacturing explosives.
Wow.
I did not know that.
I didn't know that either. That's right. That's interesting.
So, let's see. They would soon build King's Mills, a company town for their workers, and rename the operation the King Powder Company. J.W. King's son-in-law, Gersom Moore Peters, founded the Peters Cartridge Company in 1887. Peters invented the revolutionary machine that automatically loaded shotgun shells. So they became the first to commercially produce automatic machine-loaded cartridges for the marketplace, and the King Powder Company was the parent company. Safety was the watchword at the two twin factories. If I remember it correctly, they're on opposite sides of the river.
Okay.
Just across the river from each other. There are at least 20 known explosions, killing dozens of people. Workhorses wore brass horseshoes for fear of deadly sparks.
Oh. Yeah, I can imagine that, like, that would be huge. You know, yeah. I mean, like, I'm surprised it's not more than that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, true.
That's crazy.
That's a lot. That's true. One's too many, right?
It said, nail coming in contact with the floor causing a spark would touch off the explosion power. And it'd be powerful enough to blow a man to smithereens.
That's pretty humbling.
One former employee spoke of the victim in one of these explosions. Had failed to wear their required thick wool socks over their shoes. Mm. That way, anything metal on your shoe, because, I mean, they used nails back then to, secure the sole of the shoe.
Right, click, boom,
yeah,
right?
So they wore wool socks over their boots. Gosh. So they want to ignite it. Well, one of them forgot. And he said, we didn't have enough of him to make a bait for a crawfish.
That's awful.
Yeah.
Isn't that bad?
So
you just don't think. I'm like, seriously, and like, yeah, I'm gonna go work and do this. Like,
yeah,
are you? Like, no wonder they had their own town, because it's like, okay, our town's like half the population's been blown up, and
yeah,
we're gonna have to
one
have
mistake.
How do you market a job like that?
Yeah, they said the explosions were so routine that most of the structures are built quick post explosion reconstruction.
Wow!
So they're designed to blow up and then just put them all back up again.
Come work for us. We'll blow your socks off. I mean, we're really gonna blow your socks off.
So now,
right? That's the slogan. Come work for us. We'll blow your socks off.
Yeah,
but not the wool ones. The wool ones.
Like
will keep
said,
you safe.
This history is just fascinating.
It is. Yeah,
I really wanted to get it in there because I had no idea.
I personally,
this is what it's all built.
I love
off
the
of.
History. Yes.
Yeah. So only 1/3 of the original buildings are standing, comprised of 300,000 square feet of mostly storage space. During the heyday, celebrities like Little Miss Sure Shot Annie Oakley visited.
Annie Oakley, yep.
Oh, yeah.
The complex has been used in a couple movies, rap videos, three or four album covers, TV commercials. Yeah, then on July 15th, 1890, when people 6 miles away in Lebanon, Ohio, were startled by a loud boom. A freight train halted at King's Mill to pick up a couple cars.
Uh-oh, Jude, come here. Now, Jude, he's misbehaving. Come here. Hey.
And, okay, so, yeah, he was there to pick up a couple of loaded giant blasting powder cars. The engineer cut his train and proceeded to draw the cars from the switch alongside the mill and place them into a string of cars. He made what, in railroad terms, is a running switch. Having located a new brakesman to operate the brakes. For some unknown reason, the brakes on the car did not hold, and the wayward train cars slipped from their moorings.
Oh, my gosh.
The runaway train gained speed as it hurtled down the slope, striking the stationary cars loaded with 1,600 kegs of powder and cartridges.
Holy
with
God.
Disastrous results.
Yeah.
Instantly, there was an explosion that burst the eardrums of everyone in the immediate vicinity.
I can imagine.
Followed by a second concussion and later a third, more deafening report. The explosion killed 11 people, including 3 children.
Oh.
The resulting fires burned for 5 hours and destroyed the office building, 2 3-story buildings, a large warehouse, and almost 12 company homes. Luckily, the warehouse containing the 25,000 kegs of gunpowder was left untouched. Let's see.
Can you imagine, though, when that train hit the car? The other one?
I mean, ridiculous.
And their face is like, oh, no. I mean, I can't imagine approaching that.
This is
knowing what's going to happen.
This isn't anywhere we're talking something completely different. But thinking about being woken up by that explosion. Okay, so back in the day, and I don't mean to interrupt you, Nate.
No, yeah,
sorry.
Good.
This is interesting.
I'm trying to skip some of the less important stuff.
Back in the day, Jen and I lived off 65 in Southport. Mm-hmm. Okay, and we had fallen asleep. Kids were asleep, and there was this huge, it was at, I believe, 11:11, because we looked over at the clock, I want to say at night, and there was this huge explosion, and I assumed that it was some kind of a, do you remember it? I can't remember the year, though.
The year slips.
And we've been here in Plainfield for 5 years, and it was a few years, so it's been at least within the last 8-10 years, basically, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there was, and we thought, oh gosh, what was that? I jumped out of bed, literally jumped out of bed, and the reverberation from the explosion knocked off some of the pictures off our wall. I remember we had it was after Halloween, I remember, but we still had a Halloween sign up, and it had fallen, and I didn't hang it up. I just put it up on one of the, the framing on the pantry or whatever. And it fell off, but it had stayed up there for whatever. So that was, so I thought, oh God, some kind of a tanker's blown up on 65. Just has to be, right? And so we went out, we lived across from a fireman. And he's like, I called him. I was talking to him. He's like, I don't know what happened. You know, I'm not sure. You're not working tonight. So he was trying to figure out. And we're like, it had to have been something out on 65. And it ended up being about a mile away in a neighborhood, not too far from us. A house exploded and destroyed houses directly around it. And then it caused damage to several of the houses.
That was that made national news.
It made national news.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was the one guy that filled the house up with gas.
Yep.
And
we were all
up.
Standing outside looking for this. And again, we were looking at 65, thinking it's got to be 65. And we saw this smoke coming up, and thinking, where is this coming from?
Yes.
So, like I said, it was a mile away from our neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And what long short of is this. It was a insurance scheme. This lady had left her gas on purpose, was trying to make it look like an accident. She killed, people died in the process, and it was
horrible.
Yeah, it was awful. And not to go into too many details, but that scared the bejesus. I remember just jumping out of a dead sleep thinking that we were under attack or something, you know, and it was really super scary. I'll so bet. I can only imagine back in that day too, how scary that would be.
Well, it's there's an account or a witness, a 6-year-old boy, and he said him and his buddies were playing by the apple tree by the office.
Yeah.
And after the explosion, everything got dark, and all the apples fell on top of them.
Oh, wow.
Man. Yeah. Knocked all the apples out of the tree.
That's a lot of force, yeah.
Yeah. Employees at the powder mills have been on duty almost 3 hours when an instant warning, and as swiftly as lightning strikes from the sky, there was a roar as though the earth itself had been split asunder. Obviously, it exploded. The earth shook beneath their feet like a violent earthquake. And, debris rained down from the sky, splintered wood, pieces of metal, shingles, bricks, whatever. It came down on all over the place. Mm. Let's see.
I'm trying to picture that, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
How horrible.
Several large shade trees near the building were literally torn up from the roots. Others nearby were broken or twisted near their base. Others, some fully 50 yards away, were stripped of their branches.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy.
And then for a full half hour, the cloud blackened out the sky.
Yeah. I bet it did, yeah.
Yeah.
You just think it would be like Armageddon, you know, or the apocalypse, you know, if you didn't know what the heck was
going
on.
Like when the Twin Towers, you know, went down.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, what is happening?
The smoke just engulfed the city. That was blocks. And,
Yeah, they did a roll call. They were finding people missing. So they started searching through some of the debris and trying to find people, locate people. Let's see. They're saying... there were not even the tiniest fragments of clothing of any one of the missing, three to indicate that they were actually victims of the tragedy. Mm. They had literally been blown to atoms.
Oh, wow.
Careful search.
They say blown to smithereens, but blown to atoms.
Oh. Careful search in the afternoon, small fragments of bodies of the explosion victims were found, mostly at the distance of 200 yards. From the scene, only small portions of each victim were recovered, but significant or sufficient to establish identity in each instance. The fragments consisting of parts of legs and arms were placed in three boxes and buried in separate graves. Yeah, I had no clue all this stuff happened.
That's heavy. That's really heavy. I had
no idea
about
anything. It's a lot, but I really wanted to read all this.
No, I think it's good.
No trace of the brakeman could be found. Imagine that. He was right there at detonation. 50 girls were at work in the cartridge loading plant. They watched as the walls of the building cracked and split from the concussion.
I'm never going to go to the Kings Island and see the same. You know what I mean?
All but 20 of them got out of the building, but they all survived, cuts, bruises, broken bones. A list of the people that perished. One person was, they didn't know who their identity was.
So unidentified.
King's Mills buried its dead, then mutely turned its face to the scene of destruction to fix and repair the factory. The plant scene was of destruction. The plant continued to make ammunition for soldiers during World War I. Peter's Cartridge Company was sold to Remington Arms in 1934. Remington Arms brass ammunition roll a Remington Arms brass ammunition around in your hand and read the RP. The P stands for Peter's Cartridge Company.
Interesting.
They operated the plant into World War II, producing an estimated 50 million rounds per month.
Wow.
Many of the King's Powder Company buildings were burned to the ground after the company's closing due to the dangerous explosive residue. Columbia Records... pressed records at the plant until 1948. Seagram's bought the facility in 1950, used it as a whiskey warehouse for 18 years. And the old factory is said to be haunted. But that's another story.
Imagine, I would think.
Imagine that. Yeah. That is just crazy. I had no idea that was part of that area's history.
I didn't either.
So,
A lot of death and destruction. Oh, man.
All right, yeah. I think I can go on with the bits and pieces of the actual hauntings now.
The bits and pieces. Oh, there
was. He's here all day, night, and tomorrow.
Don't forget to tip your waitress.
Exactly.
Yeah. That was just so crazy.
That was very interesting.
Yeah. And then there were, like I said there, earlier, there was a lot of deaths, accidental deaths or whatnot.
Yeah, I bet.
Associated with the park itself, the amusement park.
Sure.
The three main ones that can be verified are 1976, Lion Country Safari Ranger. He was 20 years old, left his Jeep to relieve himself and got mauled to death. Yeah, the safari ride operated 1974 to 1993. I had no idea it was there.
I don't know that either.
Now the site of the Son of the Beast roller coaster, which has now been
torn down too
because someone died on that one.
And now the And the Banshee's there now.
Yeah, that's
where the Banshee is. It's a very spooky ride, but love it.
Yeah, it's a good one. May 13th, 1983, the park hosted a graduation night for local high schools. An inebriated young man named John Harder was killed after climbing around the restricted area of the Eiffel Tower and falling to his death down the elevator shaft.
Ugh.
Some accounts say he was decapitated by the elevator counterweights. More on him later. Because he's one of the hauntings. These are just the deaths.
We should have just done King's Island.
Yeah,
there's a lot. And then the third one is on June 9th, 1991, the day known in the park history as Black Sunday. A young man named Tim Brenning was with his friends at Oktoberfest near the Viking attraction. It was hot that day, and he playfully dipped his hands into the fountain to splash his friends. Unknown to him, there was a short circuit in electrical lighting, and he was badly shocked and fell into the water. His friend, William Eddie Hathcote, went in to save him, but was electrocuted. A nearby security guard rushed to the fountain, jumped in to pull the men out, but was also instantly...
Chain effect.
Well, nobody knew. I mean, they're just jumping in. It's like, oh, they're in trouble. And nobody knew that they're getting electrocuted. So, both the security guard and Eddie died on the scene. Tim barely survived and remained crippled for life. A woman on the nearby ride, a flight commander, witnessed the commotion, and while wiggling around in the open cockpit to get a better view, came out of her harness and fell to her death some 50 feet below. So, yeah, that was a pretty...
That was a horrible day.
Tragic day, yeah.
Good God.
So, yeah. Those are the big three
that
a lot of people talk about and know about. These deaths have certainly contributed to some of the ghost sightings in the park, which I was unaware of any of them. The ghost... you have the little girl in the blue dress. She's seen by visitors, employees the most out of any of the ghosts or hauntings. Not much is known about her. It seems that she predates the park and is connected to the land somehow. About 4 foot tall, dressed in an old-fashioned 19th century blue dress. She roams the parking lot, front gate, admissions, and international restaurant areas. Her ghost holds domain over the entire park and often seen by security guards wandering after dark. She is described as a friendly thing, not threatening or scary. She's just kind of there.
Kind of there.
Yeah.
So creepy. It's just, what's creeping me out the most is I've been there so many times.
Yeah.
And didn't know this. Any of this.
So then, they say that park employees named her the Tram Girl after many sightings from the tram drivers after closing time. She runs onto the tracks. Drivers stop suddenly before she disappears in thin air.
That would be freaky.
Yeah.
Thinking you're going to hit somebody. And then, oh, wait.
Kid factor always makes it freakier,
just
too.
The tram girl.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So then, got one more on my phone here.
I want to know, like, some of my favorite rides was the Beast.
Oh, yeah.
The Bat. You know, those the Vortex, which now is no more.
Oh, they don't have that anymore?
Yeah, they put it down.
Okay.
Yeah. Which just sucks. I love that one.
Yeah.
The Beast and I are the same age.
The Racer. So. Mm-hmm. You know, you got the racer, forwards and backwards.
There's the Racer, story coming up on that one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So back in the 70s, I remember the Screaming Demon was a roller coaster.
Yes, I remember the Demon. Yeah.
Now that was shut down. Yep. That's where the... King Cobra. I don't know if that's still there.
No, that's torn down too.
Yeah, okay. So that replaced the Screaming Demon.
Yeah.
And the Bat, I remember when I was a kid, somebody, one of the carts flew off and somebody got killed. And that's all I remember as a kid.
The Bat's there now. It's called something else now.
Yeah.
I think that's in this.
Yeah. But somebody.
I wasn't really going to hit it, but yeah, I think it's
about
in all
I've
this
always
literature.
I've always thought about that. I mean, when I was like 10 or 11, when I heard that it happened, I'm like, oh my gosh.
You know? Yeah, it's got some of the most memorable roller coasters in history.
Yep.
Yeah, but getting back to the girl, some websites claim that the girl drowned in the lake on the property and that she's buried in the cemetery. Queen City paranormal investigators call the ghost girl Missouri Jane after a grave in the Kings Island Cemetery for a Missouri Jane Gillenor. Who died in 1846 at the age of 5.
Oh, man. Long time ago.
Yeah. So although seemingly friendly in nature, they claim that Missouri Jane is sad at seeing all the children in the park having fun without her.
Oh. Poor baby.
That is old.
So then moving on to the...
Well, thanks a lot, Nate. Well, anyway, so who do... Poor Missouri Jane.
We're going to all need a hug after this one.
You got to name them.
Yeah, I was going to ask you what the name was. And then
makes it more personal, right?
Yeah. And then now this other one is, let's see. Employees and guests have witnessed a little boy ghost dubbed the Racer Boy.
Uh-oh.
Who is said to be wandering. He wanders around the park near the Racer roller coaster. He is most often seen dressed entirely in white, and his presence startles guests who often alert employees about the very realistic-looking child wandering alone too close to the wooden roller coaster. Story states that two of the four cars on the Racer originally belonged to a ride at Coney Island called the Shooting Star. Legend claims that a long time ago, the body of a young boy was found dead on the tracks of the Shooting Star, killed by the train cars. Apparently, the child had been seated alone in the back of the roller coaster, and when it pulled back into the Coney Island shed, he was gone. A search ended with his body being found in the valley of the track. Racer riders report seeing Racer boys standing alongside the tracks and in the tunnels of the popular ride. While the Racer is one of the oldest rides in the park, with ride components actually predating the park, Racer Boy sightings weren't reported until the early 1990s.
That's crazy.
Mm.
So something happened and he popped up. I don't know. Then there is Tower Johnny, getting back to
the Eiffel Tower.
Kid that climbed the tower.
That one sounds awful.
Yeah.
The decapitation.
The ghost of the aforementioned teenage boy, who tragically fell from the riggings of the Eiffel Tower in 1983, he haunts the tower of his death. Ghosties love to tell his story. It is easy to exaggerate the circumstances of his death.
Right.
After foolishly climbing up the closed elevator shaft to show off for his friends, Tower Johnny lost his grip on the greasy metal ropes, falling down the shaft where he was sliced like lunch meat by cables on his way down.
You said he was decapitated, right?
One claim does, oh, yeah. Another one, this one's saying just hitting all the cables. Ugh. He is all sliced up.
Both are kind of bad.
That's yeah, bad. It's a bad way to go either way. Johnny is one of the most popular ghosts at Kings Island.
Yeah.
Every
piece of him.
Some claim to see. Yeah.
Hey, Johnny.
Yeah. Some claim to see him.
Here, there, and everywhere.
Right? Looking back at them from the tower or hanging out at the fountain in front of the tower. Mm. Sightings began shortly after his actual death in the park. So 1983. Tower Johnny is often blamed for electrical malfunctions in the park. In fact, to this day, tripped sensors with no apparent cause are called Johnnies by the employees at Kings Island.
Oh, wow.
So then, let's see. Yeah, they're saying there's ghosts that are attached to the White River Canyon raft ride.
Yeah, which is a great one.
Countless employees have heard the disembodied sounds of children giggling, accompanied by pelting of rocks against their towers. Employees call the poltergeist Woody. And the most experienced at Observational Tower 2, which is deep in the woods and only accessible by a small footpath. Because they have, I think, if I remember correctly, on that raft ride, there's like different locations, like overlooks that you can watch the raft go through.
Yeah.
I think that's what they're talking about.
Oh, man.
Ugh. So, yeah, you get messed with, I guess.
Yeah.
Little turds.
Little jerks.
Rascals.
Then the other ghost reported at the Beast roller coaster. Riders claim to see glowing red eyes in the woods.
There's a lot of woods, and the tunnel gets really dark.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And is often said that to be the spirits of visitors who've died on the roller coaster.
Oh, my gosh.
The octopus ride is rumored to be haunted by a park guest who died while on the ride. I'm not familiar with the octopus ride.
I'm not either.
It might have been an old one that's renamed or no longer there. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's... That's Kings Island for you.
That's crazy.
Well, all right, let's go.
Yeah. I always tell people, Beast is my second favorite roller coaster. Millennium Force at Cedar Point, which I got to ride when I was there, is my favorite. I love it. Mm-hmm. It's just fantastic. And Claire screamed and cried the entire time, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And then Harrison loves the Beast. I got him to ride it. And the Beast is still just as old as I am. So I love that fact, number one. And the other thing is that it feels like it just wants to rip your head off.
Mm-hmm.
It starts
rough.
That way.
It's rough.
And then it just gets like, well, this is going to ease up. It goes harder at you.
Yeah.
It's a rough one.
You go through that first tunnel, like, man, that was crazy. And then you get into the spiraling second one. You're like, oh, my gosh,
more
it's twice
more.
As fast.
I love everyone. And it beats the crap out of
you. I mean, it really does beat you up.
Oh, yeah.
But afterwards, you're like,
oh, yeah.
I got to do that again. It's long. It's, what, 3.5 minutes or something?
Yeah, it's
like
one of the longest wooden roller. It might be the longest.
I think it is.
Did you guys say the Vortex is closed?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, I love that one.
A couple years ago, we went. They were saying it was the last season for it.
So. See, I didn't do roller coasters because I was scared of them until, gosh, I don't know. High school. I mean, I don't know. Maybe 19
last
or 20. No. I was old. I mean, I wasn't a kid because I did not want any part of them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then I went on, took the day off from my first full-time job. And a girl I was dating, we went with her parents. And she's like, oh, I can't wait to do it, you know. And I'm like.
And you're like, I don't want to do this.
I don't. Yeah, exactly. I don't want to. Yeah. She's like, you don't like roller coasters? I'm like, no,
you didn't
really.
Want to admit it.
I'm like, I can go on like the little ones. She's like, oh, you're going on. I'm like, oh, my gosh, what can I do now? I can't.
But
you
she
know.
Got you to like them.
I think we did the Beast 8 times.
Yeah.
That was when the Vortex was fairly new. This was like 91. I just love them now. Yeah. So for now. So now in the last 20 years, or 30 years.
That's awesome.
Gosh, I am old.
The first roller coaster I ever rode was at Indiana Beach. It was the Tiger. Mm-hmm. I think it still exists, as far as I know.
I've never been there.
It's not a very big. Been there, it's nothing now, but at the time when I was 12 or 11 or whatever it was, I rode with my dad, and it was like, oh my gosh.
Tell you what,
that made me love him.
Holiday World
has some wonderful
really
ones,
good wooden roller coaster. I know one of them's the Raven. The other one that we took the boys on is the Voyager.
Yeah, that's a good one. Harrison passed out on that one.
Yeah.
Well, poor thing.
Well, the boys, is their first roller coaster.
Yeah.
And
that was Harrison's too, I believe.
Me and Rachel completely did not see the huge 50 foot by 10 foot huge sign saying rated number one wooden roller coaster 4 years straight.
Oh, yeah.
We didn't see
really?
The sign.
Uh-huh.
So like, it's nothing, guys. It's Holiday World. How bad can
it
be?
It's for little kids.
They were white knuckling, tears coming out of their eyes, just screaming
poor
bloody
buddies.
Murder.
That's funny.
There you go, guys. That's like... As we're getting off, we saw the sign. I was like, there you go.
How about that?
And we're like, guys, you just did like the worst roller coaster ever. You should be able to do any other roller coaster. No problem.
Well, that's Jenna. That's what she wanted to do with Harrison. She's like, here, let's go do this one. It won't be a big deal. And he rode it and he passed out. And she said all she remembers, and I forget the picture because I think he's passed out. He's sitting there like his head was bobbling around. And she's like, oh, my God, I killed her son. It was like, but it was just funny. Yeah,
we went.
That's got the Thunderbird too, and the Thunderbird is fantastic.
Thunderbird,
suspended roller coaster.
Yes.
It's
okay,
fantastic.
So they still have. Okay, that's cool.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, I love those.
It's a highly rated one too. Yeah.
And that's the one that kind of goes in the wood. Like when I did it, it was called Top Gun.
Yes,
oh,
Top
yeah.
Gun.
Yeah,
Tree. Yeah, mm-hmm. So it says like okay.
Yeah, I forgot to rename that one.
Yeah.
So 2016, we went to or 15, we went to Kings Island. Took the kids, so they would have been so Elijah would have been 4
mm-hmm.
or 5, and then she would have been 7 or 8, and that's pretty little. And so, you know, we couldn't. So I went and did some roller coasters by myself while Amy was with the kids, and then she would ride, you know,
mm-hmm.
and then we did the little, you know, fun Scooby Doo, whatever the little mm-hmm. I don't know what the
Scooby pound, Zoom,
yeah. And then we actually what's the roller coaster? It's a smaller scale. What's that one called? It used to be the Beastie.
Yeah,
but it's
yeah,
not
yeah.
that anymore. It's blue. It's they call it. I don't know if it's the smart. It's something.
There's
different.
A Woodstock now.
It's Woodstock.
Yeah,
that's
Woodstock.
The
yeah,
Woodstock.
Yeah.
And we were like,
to clarify,
kids, you want to try it? Oh, go ahead.
To clarify, that Thunderbird was at Holiday World, by the way.
And oh, okay.
Talking, yeah.
But I was thinking, but Top Gun one.
Yeah,
Top
Gun. Yeah, gotcha.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And, we actually got the kids to do the Woodstock. And
it's a good one for
they
young kids.
They loved it.
Yeah,
they loved it.
Our kids
so,
did, too.
Again, it's kind of like me when I was 20. I'm like, hey, I'm addicted now. So now, yeah, they were
it
five
it's
or six.
It's a fun
five.
Little one,
they,
too.
We
really
go down, and then we go right back in line. They'd want to go down, right back in.
Yeah.
And then little boogers, and I'm like, it was a lot better than I would. I mean, I still wouldn't have. I mean, I would have done that too, but I'm not at maybe 4 and 7 or 5, whatever they were, 5
right.
and 8.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's cool.
Yep.
Heck yeah.
Yep. That was fun.
It.
So, Nate, that was really interesting. I had no idea even about that powder company.
Yeah, I didn't.
I knew
either.
Nothing about.
I think you blew that out of the water, literally. Blew it out of the water.
Yeah, I didn't expect all that.
Dropped the mic. I didn't either.
Drop the mic, but we can't drop the mics because they're connected.
It was one of those things where I started, I was like, okay, yeah. Those storage are pretty cool, and I started getting into it, and then it just goes deeper and deeper. I mean, the whole explosion at the powder company has nothing really to do with the hauntings. It may, I don't know. I mean, some of those aberrations might be there. I mean, who knows? But
no, it was,
it was just
historic.
Yeah,
take.
Historical thing. Yeah,
that was
grim
and sad.
Yeah.
And terrible. Honestly.
So, yeah, it just adds a little bit to it, you know.
I got
to
tell a real quick story about Kings Island, and this isn't firsthand, so it was from somebody else. I'm not going to name any names, but there's a guy I know, and he and some of his, it was like in-laws and a friend, I think, that they were at Great Wolf Lodge, and they had decided they all snuck out of their rooms. I think, I want to say that they were like his company party or whatever. And so they snuck out. They decided they were going to go walking and drinking and, you know, just having some fun, you know, after hours, whatever. So they snuck out of Great Wolf Lodge, and they're like, let's go over to Kings Island because mm-hmm. it's right there.
They have a path.
Yeah.
They have a path.
Yeah.
That you would. So they snuck on. They're like, you know, they weren't thinking. They're inebriated. But they successfully, it's a great story. I can't tell it. Like I said, I wasn't there firsthand. But snuck onto the grounds. And kept saying, oh, yeah, how far can we get? They wanted to see if they could climb the Eiffel Tower. As I remember, they did that. They were able to. Dude. So this is what we get for having two podcast dogs. Come here, Jude. But they were able, they're like, all we got to do is be able to see if we can turn on one of these rides. They were able to do that.
No.
They were real close to trying to, like, ride a ride, and they chickened out. They were like, no, can't do this, you know. So they kind of, like, stumbled out.
Big
but they were like, I know.
Well, that could be dangerous. I mean,
yeah.
Well, here's the thing, because my thing was, and they were like, it is so super creepy there at night. And this, but the fact that they weren't thinking, they luckily, nobody died. Nobody got hurt. I do think I think somebody got injured, if I recall, in there. But Jude, come here. But anyway, yeah, Jenna goes, Jude, what if he barks at? I'm like, he's not going to bark.
It is what it is.
So anyway, but it was, like I said, I have to get the guy to tell the story, but they did. They went so far, but they did not end up riding the ride, but they were like super close. They were able to turn it on and activate it, and like, we could have ridden the rides, but they so would have gotten caught. And then being inebriated, they would have been lucky.
I would think that they would have something that you, if you're an employee, you have a code or a special key, you know, because of that, somebody's coming in on the property and they shouldn't be able to access that and actually turn it on.
Well, that's what I think that surprised them
too.
That
would be awful.
But anyway, they didn't get caught or anything, but it's shocking that they got that far. But anyway,
so
that
you think when I think of Kings Island,
when you were saying Kings Island, all I could think of was the after hours has to be super creepy. And I know they have a Halloween party over there and all that kind of stuff. That's one of the pictures I put on there was from that. So, but that was so cool. I love it.
Good job, Nate.
Yeah,
thank you,
sir.
I like it. I liked all the stories.
I did too. Yeah. Well, they got better and better and better.
Man, awesome.
I'm glad I started because I couldn't have outdone his.
So, stop, Jude. That sort of happened the way it needed to happen. I guess.
Exactly right. We set that up. I set that up on purpose, right?
Well, Sean, you did a great job doing that.
Yeah, I did.
No, yeah, I liked it. I hope the listeners, I think they would too.
I think so, yeah.
Kinda well, it's a different spin on amusement parks.
Amusement parks are fun, so there is definitely surrounding with fun, and then there is the suspense and the spookiness of it. So,
mm-hmm. Well, like I said, I mean, all of us have been to Kings Island numerous times, and I had no idea of all this history.
No.
I mean, it's wild. I mean, I didn't know there's a cemetery right there at the entrance.
Yeah, right.
I didn't know
either. That in itself is crazy.
Yeah.
I knew nothing about the powder company or that building and all the different things it's been. Yeah,
we all learn lots there.
We learn lots, don't we?
Yeah.
Well, good job, guys. So before we turn it over to Sean, we are going to do another giveaway.
Ooh, I'm super excited for that.
I like giveaways.
We don't have the idea yet.
Yeah,
we need to talk about. I even asked my wife to come up with something maybe as an idea.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll do it.
Let's give it away. I'm going to give away a dog here in about 2 seconds.
A dog named Jude.
Uh-huh.
No, he's a good boy.
He's going to be in trouble.
He said, Dad, sorry. He said, it's been a
while. He never barks. That's what's funny. He's like, you little son of a...
You know what? I think I barked maybe once when we were at your house. But that's,
he's making
that's
up for it now.
Hey, that's part. That's what we wanted. We're not going to...
He's a turkey is what he is.
He's not a turkey. He said, Dad.
Jenna's going to say, I was right.
He's getting bored in this little room.
I know. He's like, well, first is anybody of all, else getting hot in here?
First of all, I want once again, thank you, Jenna, for suggesting this topic.
Oh, so, yeah. Very, and we did say we were going to give a little song and dance.
That was awesome. Yeah, that was great. So that was a good topic and something different to give our listeners and to do some research on. Yeah, so good job, Jenna. Good choice. And then, so we're going to do another merch giveaway. So we'll figure out something, some type of contest, whatever, you know, what we do back in April, kind of into May. You know, we did that if you gave us a review.
Have you gotten those bobbleheads made of us yet? Maybe we could
You know what?
Away.
Don't put it past me.
I know.
I want to.
Every time I come up with an idea, Todd's already got
our little bobbleheads.
Hey, why don't you get this person on the show? Oh, they're coming on. Yeah. Dan Aykroyd's next. I am throwing down the gauntlet. If you get Dan Aykroyd.
I told somebody that.
I'll do this for free forever.
They laughed. And I said, I'm going to try. I said it won't happen, but it'll try.
Yeah.
Please
don't. Be optimistic. I want to be optimistic with that one.
He's coming on next week.
He's got a little surprise for us.
So once we figure out what we'll do, that'd be fun.
It's our Christmas episode, right? It's our Christmas episode.
That would be fun.
A guy can dream, right?
Yeah,
he can.
Well, you can dream, I guess.
Go ahead, dream all you want.
That'd be fun. But so we'll. And then I want to also mention. I would imagine the listeners were surprised that they had a little bonus Saturday, one of our minis.
Yes. Well, we've decided that minis aren't just for vacations. Minis are fun, and we're going
to
keep doing them.
So we're going to try to do them as much as we can and drop them on Saturday, you know, afternoon, sometime Saturday, so to give you guys a little extra content to listen to. So Can't guarantee it'll be every Saturday, but we'll try to. I mean,
yeah. See what we can do.
Yeah.
So,
like we've said since the beginning, we'll do what we can do.
Yeah, they're fun to do. I'll give you guys something on the weekend to listen to. And
mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
Well, by the numbers, it seems like a lot of people are enjoying it, so give a little bit more.
I would say yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So between that, yeah, and then the merch giveaway contest, we'll figure out something. That'll be fun to do. And then
I love that, though. It's something to look forward to, too, right?
Mm-hmm. I like that.
And something to say. Thank
yeah.
you.
Yeah, thank you.
Right. Thank you.
So that's all I got, dude.
Okay. All right, so I'm going into the middle-aged moment.
That's it.
All right. You're on. So I'm in a middle-aged moment, and I'm going to beat this dog at the same time. All right, so I've got a little bit of a split here, since we're just doing one major or one long session recording tonight. It's been forever. I keep thinking I'm a huge Beatles fan. I don't know if anybody knows that, but I'm a Beatles fan. George Harrison, my favorite Beatle. So between Harrison Ford, I have to mention Harrison Ford, who did turn 79 in the midst of all this.
Yeah.
July 13th, don't ask me how I know. So so the two Harrisons, that's why Harrison has his name. But so George Harrison is my favorite, but I love Beatles quotes. I love Beatles lyrics. So of course, I'm sure at some point I'm going to be having some songs on here. But I did have a good John Lennon quote. And he said, "When I was 5 years old, my mother always told me that happiness was the key to life. When I went to school, they asked me what I wanted to be when I grew up. I wrote down happy. They told me I didn't understand the assignment, and I told them they didn't understand life."
Oh. There you go.
Touche.
Yeah. Touche, mon ami, right?
Wow. You did not understand life.
Did not understand life.
Good comeback.
Thank you.
Wow.
So the other one that I have, that's kind of the serious part of it. I have one I have a couple. You're going to love this. So this is because I keep trying to bring the humor corner in here. We're going to get that someday as part of the show. This is Winston Churchill. And I got it right this time. So Winston Churchill loved, okay.
One of the Beatles?
He was definitely one of the Beatles. He's a Beatles fan, yeah.
They're both Great Britain.
He died. I think he died.
Both had the same accent.
He died before the Beatles became big. 60, I didn't want to say 60, I'm making this up, 60, 63, somewhere in there, in the early 60s. So anyway, Winston Churchill loved paraprosdokians. I don't know if I'm saying that right. It's a really long word. So if I said that wrong, I apologize. But that means figures of speech in which the latter part of the sentence or phrase is surprisingly unexpected. So you're going to, these are great. Where there's a will, I want to be in it.
There you go. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Yes.
So the last thing I want to do is hurt you, but it's still on my list. See, I'm going to go, this is humor corner right here, baby.
I found my new motto.
See, this is great, isn't it? Now you just have to know how.
It's like, I will remember that.
We should have a contest on who can pronounce that, what that means, the figures of speech that end in funnies. Okay, the next one. Since light travels faster than sound, some people appear bright until you hear them speak. Aha. Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of truth in that one.
Oh, that's a good one.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
How about, if I agreed with you, we'd both be wrong.
Yeah, I've heard that one. I have heard that one.
War does not determine who is right, only who is left.
That's true.
Ooh, that's a good one. See, Winston, he liked these. Knowledge is knowing. A tomato is a fruit. Wisdom is not putting it in a fruit salad.
<That's> great.
They begin the evening news with good evening, then proceed to tell you why it isn't. That one is so true.
But that's not the truth, yeah.
To steal ideas from one person is plagiarism. To steal it from many is research. Now that, and that's the basis of our show.
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought I wanted a career. Turns out I just wanted paychecks. In filling out an application where it says, in case of emergency, notify, I put doctor.
It's a good start.
I didn't say it was your fault. I said I was blaming you. You probably heard that one.
Heck yeah.
Women will never be equal to men until they can walk down the street with a bald head and a beer gut and still think they are sexy.
Oh my gosh.
Behind every successful man is his woman. Behind the fall of a successful man is usually another woman. It's like, oh. A clear conscience is a sign of a fuzzy memory. That's probably true for me. Mm. You do not need a parachute to skydive. You only need a parachute to skydive twice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dun, dun, dun. Money can't buy you happiness, but it sure makes misery easier to live with. There's a fine line between cuddling and holding someone down so they can't get away. That's a good one. All right, couple more. I used to be indecisive. Now I'm just not sure. You're never too old to learn something stupid. That is our motto. That should be our new Mako motto. To be sure of hitting the target, shoot first and call whatever you hit the target.
Yeah, I like that.
That's a good one.
I meant to hit that.
I do all the time.
This one's good. Nostalgia isn't what it used to be.
Oh, yeah.
That's fun.
That's good.
Change is inevitable, except from a vending machine.
Yeah.
Going to church. This one's good. Now I've got two more. Going to church doesn't make a Christian. Doesn't make you a Christian any more than standing in a garage makes you a car.
That is true.
Yeah.
And the last one, I'm supposed to respect my elders, but now it's getting harder and harder to find one.
Which is, we're getting older. I said that the other day. I'm like, why is everybody?
That's a good one. Yeah.
Those are good. He died in 1965, by the way.
65. Okay. So, well, then he probably still didn't know what the heck the Beatles were then.
Well, I would imagine 60. He did.
You think so?
I do.
You think he, yeah, he might have.
We'll never know.
You think he was listening to it on his deathbed?
Yeah.
I know. I'm glad you Googled that because I would.
Like, oh, this is catchy.
He's like,
I can't twist.
Yeah, exactly. Now I can die.
Yeah, now I can die. Here's the Beatles.
He can go visit or go be with Abraham Lincoln, right?
Yeah.
All right. So was the middle-aged moment in Creepy Corner. No, that's, I'm getting these all mixed up. Humor Corner. I got all my corners mixed up.
Middle-aged moment.
Yeah. Middle-aged moment and Humor Corner mixed together. Okay, so with the announcements, we first of all want to tell you, of course, how you can email our show. It's makopodcast@gmail.com with show ideas, stories, anything that you want to tell us, how you're enjoying join the show. So anything that you want to share with us. Merch, of course. We have all kind of merchandise that you can order. And we have a free dog that goes with every order right now. So it's a first come, first serve. You can have them. So like I said, merch of all kind. We do have our limits, but not very many. Honestly, we just about anything. We'll put our logo on. You can message us on Facebook, Instagram, or email us that order. You can find us, of course, on Instagram or Facebook at Middle Aged and Creeped Out. We always want to tell you, thank you for your support and the encouragement. And like I said, we brought up the numbers. We always say, we're not going to look at the numbers. I'm not going to watch the numbers, but it is humbling.
It's
awesome. And we got people now listen to us in Syria, which there's always a new country and a new city. What did we say? The city out in California, was it
El Cajun. So whoever you are, wherever you're at, thank you.
Yeah. I mean, it's amazing. We're waiting for Turda. Turda needs to pop up and
come on, Turda.
I told you,
Malta. We should have
if we have Turda listeners, we've made it.
Oh, I know. and we'll mention you forever if you start listening, Turda.
You get it. As long as we do this podcast, you will be mentioned every single. I don't care if it's a mini, a full, whatever.
Because it'll be like Turda. They get
two parter.
They get us.
They get it.
They so get us.
Although, then again, do we want somebody that's from Turda?
We're going to end up being
something. No, we do.
We're going to end up being like, yeah, that's true. Marketing for Turda.
The other day, like I was telling the guys, I said, because Sean, I think it was Saturday, you sent me the list of the cities and the numbers. And I'm like, oh my gosh, Syria. And Amy goes, what's Syria? I go, they are listening to our podcast. I mean, it's
crazy.
Totally
it?
Crazy. It is. It's wild.
I mean, Japan, Syria, we've had all corners of the earth. Iceland has listened to us.
Oh, yeah. Brazil.
Canada, Brazil.
It is
crazy.
Wild. But yeah, when I said Syria, I'm like, oh my gosh.
I am going to get a little creeped out. I told you. When Moscow, Beijing, and Antarctica. I don't know how we're going to know it's Antarctica, but when Antarctica starts showing. No, I'm kidding. Like literally all corners of the earth. Yeah. But we really do.
We
it's like around
everybody.
The world.
I don't care if you're Greenwood, Indiana. We have, just our little towns here and cities
love
in Indiana to the other countries. It's, thank you.
So yeah, and we're honestly, it's very, very humbling.
It's fun, yeah.
You can find us on all major listening platforms, however you want to listen to this podcast. It's Audio Boom, of course. We've got Spotify. We got all of the
however
above. iTunes.
Listen.
Yep. We're not going to tell you how to do it.
We are there.
We are everywhere. So this is something that we always want to hit home. Always, always, always from the first podcast to the last one we ever do when we croak. We want to make sure that we spotlight mental health and the importance of it. It's not going away, unfortunately. So we want to give out those help hotlines. We're here. We all need it. We know that a lot of people out there need it. Everybody needs it. Everybody's got family members and friends and loved ones. So you're all in our thoughts and prayers. I know that becomes a trite statement, but it's not here in this podcast. It's very serious to us. So the substance abuse and mental health hotlines are 1-800-662-4357. The last four on that are help. And the National Prevention of Suicide Lifeline is 1-800-273-8255. And the last four on that is TALK.
Thank you, sir.
No problem. Do you ever notice that I just keep this show going because I don't ever want this to end? Do you guys know that about me?
Kind of.
You're like...
I sit here thinking that we all need mental health with how we got through this episode.
Wait a minute.
No, it's because...
Okay, I know I have my issues, but...
It's the triangle effect. Yeah. Remember, we get each other through. No, every time.
That was fun. And we really do have notes.
I bring it back to I blame Jude. He's got broad shoulders.
No way. He's laying here. He's laying on the side.
I know. He's my foot warmer right now, actually.
No. And I just want to mention real quick, we want some stories. Anybody has a
creepy
story?
Yeah.
I haven't got one in a while.
You don't want to just keep hearing mine.
We'll use Sean's, but we really want to get somebody else out there. Yeah, no. Like Sean said.
I agree.
The mental health isn't going anywhere. Yeah. So, unfortunately, it's not. So, if it's a private message or you want to put on the Instagram or Facebook that you have something that you're worried about or nervous about or something, and, I've said it before, you don't have to be
all that confidential, right? Or if you have a story and you don't want us to say who you are, that's fine, too.
Yeah, we'll let us know.
Anonymous stories all day long.
Yeah. So, anyway, but yes, thank you guys.
We're talking to you, Syria.
No, that's right. No, we're serious. Wait a minute. No, yeah.
And only half serious, but yeah.
Well, thanks, sir.
No problem.
Yeah. So, anybody else have anything to add?
I don't think so.
Since we've done a lot of subtracting.
No, I subtracted the crap out of this one.
No, yeah. It's good.
We're going to love it. They're going to love it. This is going to be a good one.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I guess that is an amusement park wrap.
Woo!
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it, too. Ditto.
Yeah.
Jinx. Double jinx.
Yeah. Well, guys, thank you again for listening to Episode 19. And until next time, creepies, Nate is your sound engineer. We are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged
and creeped out. Keep it creepy.